Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
Hey, so I've done so many things. I've done so many things in the last couple of weeks. I would say the greatest thing is talking to Jess Bramall. I don't know if she's here in this service. She's here in the service. Hello, Jess. I'm going to talk about you for a second, right? And talking to Jess Bramall, and I interviewed her because this guy recognised me from TVN. I walked into St. Pancras Station just yesterday, and he said, "Are you the guy from TVN?" And I said, "It must be another guy." So it's a new day, isn't it, where you get recognised, finally. My dream, it's my, never give up on your dream, right? And Jess, I interviewed her, and Jess, when she came into our program, City Hearts program, this is how much she weighed, right? When she came into our, when she came into our program, she weighed 3 stone 10. That's dead. 3 stone 10. I mean, she's only 5.5 stone now, right? But this is her real healthy weight, right? But 3 stone 10. Just, it is absolutely remarkable. And I want to thank Karen. I said, "Well, why? How did you come into the program?" And she said, "Well, City Hearts and Karen Bianchi found out about her. Maybe some kind of reference or something like that." And then Karen phones up every 2 weeks. So she kept phoning up every 2 weeks, phones up. She said, "I'm not coming in. Almost dead, but I'm not coming in." Phones up again. "I'm not coming in." Phones up again. She says, "Oh, I think I'll come in." Is there brilliance or is there absolute awesomeness in the foundations of Hope City Church that's happening right under our nose? Some people are looking for revival. That's revival. That's revival. This is the stuff of heaven. And this is the stuff we're wanting to multiply. Don't think one day revival will come to the hills of Sheffield. Listen, forget that rubbish, right? It's here under our nose. It needs multiplying. The greatness is here. The greatness is here. It just simply needs multiplying. But, you know, and I want to talk about this today. Before Jess had a breakthrough, she redefined who she was. She didn't find who she was. She redefined who she was. And I guess you could summarize everything I'm about to say is that God's waiting for you to define yourself, for God to then demonstrate himself. If you could define yourself, not find yourself. Find yourself's a crazy, drug-infused kind of mantra of this generation. I'm going to find myself. I'm going to find who I really am. Listen, stop that nonsense. Stop. The Bible doesn't say find yourself. The Bible says define yourself. Define yourself. The Bible says to mark out who you actually are. You mark it out. You don't find it. You decide it. You mark out who you are, and God will demonstrate who he is. She redefined herself. She said, This is who I really am. This is my new definition of Jess Bramall. And then she moved into God's demonstration of who God called Jess Bramall to be. You define yourself and God will demonstrate himself. Here's 7 things that define who you are. It's your choice how you do this. 7 things that define who you are. Number one, the offenses you decide to forgive and ignore. That's your definition. Number one, the offenses you decide to ignore and forgive. Number two, the failures you decide to leave in your past. This isn't find yourself, this is define yourself. Number three, the losses you decide to fully let go of. The losses you decide to fully let go of. Number four, the sins that you decide to lay down at the cross. The sins that you decide. It's got nothing to do with anybody else on this planet. It's got to do with your decision-making capacity that redefines you. Number five, the distrust that you decide to squash and keep down. The distrust. that you decide to squash and roll right on over, that's going to define you. Either you'll be a person of distrust and cynicism, or a person who decides to trust like a fresh new day. It'll define you. It'll make a difference between heaven's demonstrations of power and no demonstrations from heaven. Number six, the self-portrait you decide to never paint again. This'll define you. The self-portrait you decide to never paint again. And number seven, the dreams that you decide will never die. Now, this is not a time to be yourself. Just stop the nonsense of I'm just trying to be myself. Don't be yourself. Define yourself. If you can define yourself, you'll not only be the person that God called you to be, but you will be great. The calling of God upon your life is bigger and brighter and better than you could ever dream of or ever imagine. But it starts with definition. Definition precedes demonstration. And before God demonstrated his power in Genesis chapter 1, he made a series of definitions. In the beginning, God created the earth. It was formless, empty, and dark. It was called being yourself. Formless, empty, and dark. I'll just be myself. No. You'll curse yourself being yourself. This is what God did. In day one, he defined night and day. In day two, he defined sky and sea. In day three, he defined sea and ground. In day four, he defined light and darkness. In day five, he created life. In day six, he created man. 4 days of defining preceded 2 days of demonstrating. So you want to define your sky. You want to define your blue sky. You want to define your rock solid ground in your life. You want to define your light. You want to define in your life what's light and what's dark. You want to define what's revelation, what's striving. You want to define what's rich and what's poor. You want to define. You want to get your borders out. And you want to move the borders of your life into pleasant places, not fear-bound places, not rocky ledges, in pleasant places. You've got a delightful inheritance, but God's waiting for you to put the border out. That out of 6 days of creation, God spends 4 days in definition. Not demonstration. 4 days in defining the borders of life. And then God spent 2 days demonstrating the power of life. Now, Partners Ball's coming up on Saturday night, right? And so I thought, I'll just get into the spirit of it. So I thought, I'll just flick through the photos of last year. And I found this gorgeous photo of a couple from last year's Partners Ball. And I texted it to them, right? And I thought, they're going to come back and say, weren't we super cool last year, right? I thought they'd come back and say, weren't we the best looking couple in all of Hope City Church last year? But none of that. All I got was, it could have been a hashtag. It just said, last year's Bants. Last year's Bants. Bants is short for banter. Banter is short for tune. Short for, it's last year's tunes, Dave. We ain't living in last year. We're not being defined by last year. It's got nothing to do with us this year. We've moved on, so stop showing us photos of what we used to look like. Don't let your past define you. You want to come out of last year's bands and come into this year's bands. Come out of last year's tunes into this year's tunes. Last year's playlist into this year's playlist. You want to ditch the playlist of last year. Ditch the voices of last year. Ditch the rhythm, the tunes of last year. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new season. Stop letting last year define you. You define you. You define you. You say, this is my this year's Bants, Dave. No matter how good looking you were last year or how atrocious looking you were last year, it's a brand new day. It's this year's Bants, this year's tunes, this year's playlists. You don't want to be who you are, otherwise you'd probably be who you were. You want to be who you want to be. You want to be who you want to be. So I suggest in the next 7 days preceding the dream offering in Hope City Church, that you be who you want to be. I'm putting the gauntlet out. This dream offering will be the biggest offering that we have ever seen in the life of Hope City Church. And this is putting the challenge out. Will you redefine yourself for what is one of the greatest days in the history of Hope City Church? Or will you say, no, I'm just poor. I've got inabilities. I'm a victim to my circumstance. And I got nothing to give. May I suggest that is hashtag last year's bands. I suggest you get a brand new hashtag called hashtag brilliant. Hashtag awesome. Because the power of reinvention doesn't lie in the hands of God. The power of reinvention lies in the hands of the grand central station of your will. You decide who you want to be and you'll become what you want to be. The moment you redefine, you get heaven's attention, and then God begins to demonstrate his greatness within your life. It's what Jesus said to Simon straight after Simon came to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon, which is a good thing to do that for Easter Sunday services, and tell him, "We found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Last year's bands. Hashtag. Said, "You're Simon, son of John. Got a new hashtag for you. You'll be called Cephas, which means Peter, which means rock. You are a reed, but I'm going to call you rock. I'm going to change your name." And if you know anything about Simon, for 3 years he was like a reed, which his name means reed. He oscillated between stepping out of boats and then stepping on the dignity of Jesus and denying him. But then on the day of Pentecost, he stood up as the rock, preached to thousands and thousands of people, and saw 3,000 people get saved in one single encounter. It didn't begin with Peter finding himself. It began with Peter redefining himself. Some of you need to, like, don't do it by default because you'd look stupid, but some of you need to rename yourself. There's names that people have injected into you that you've accepted. You've thought, that is me. No. That's not you. And even if it is you, it was you. In Chronicles, it chronicles both events and names of people who stood out in the history of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the tribe of Judah, it lists a stack of names, but only one is expanded upon. His name is Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, this is what it says. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me, keep me from harm, so I can be free from pain." And God granted his request. See, he had been defined by the name that his mother had given him. Jabez means pain. So everyone used to say, "Come on over here, pain in the A." Because that's his name. And everything he did hurt. His relationships hurt. His physicality hurt. His history hurt. His memories hurt. Because he was defined by the name pain, everything became painful. Until he decided that was last year's bands. And he cried out to God, saying, "God, reinvent me. Bless me. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me. Keep me from harm, so that I might be free from my name." next 7 days, and God granted his request. Gave him a name change. That's what you need to do. You got to hate something to change something. People say you got to love yourself. Sometimes you just got to plain hate yourself. Sometimes you got to think, this is not the me I'm deciding to be. Sometimes you got to stop being a victim and rise up in the strength of God and think, I'm going to be a victor. And I'm going to choose who I will become. If you define yourself, God will demonstrate himself. This is the principle of the Word of God. I'll just ad-lib this bit, right? But there's 6 real yous, if you want to get into it. Number one, there's the notorious you. The notorious B.I.G. It's nothing but you. It's your ego. It's all about you. It's in you. If you want to be narcissistic and want the world to bow down, just be you. Because it's in you. The second you is the nasty you. Comes quite easily. It's the attitudinal you. It's the moody you. I'm just being myself. No, you're being a cow. It's the moody you. It's the atmospheric you. It's the you that works by attitude. It's the you that works by atmosphere. It's a large part of you. So if you want to be just you, you're going to have very few friends. And a very bad marriage. Thirdly, there's the naughty you. There's the you that wants to do 121 naughty things every single day. That's the real you. So you'd be a fool just to be yourself, because you'll end up in shipwrecked relationships because you're just being you. I found myself very naughty. And then there's the natural you, which is, I guess, what people are referring to, which is your personality, which is your talent mix. It's also your insecurities. It's also your humanity. It's your brokenness. And people think, I just want to be the natural me. The problem with the natural you is born to be a servant to either the notorious you or the new that God's created. But it cannot work independently of either fear or faith. It's either driven by the horse of fear or driven by the horse of faith. But it never exists under its own leadership. And there's the new you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This is number 5. It's the you that heaven sees, the saint, not a sinner, the righteous, the redeemed, and the renewed. That's 5. I said there's 6 yous. The 6th you is the most powerful you. It's the one that sits at the grand central station of your will. It's governed by your decision-making capacity, and it's called the next you. The next you is the most powerful you out of all the yous. So when you say, I'm just trying to find who me is, you're going to be as moody as, or as naughty as, or as up yourself as, you're going to be a bad, bad person. Or you're going to drip around in your own brokenness and your own misery. What you want to be is the next you. You want to be the next big thing. You want to rebrand yourself. You want to go on a rebranding exercise. You want to repackage yourself. You want to reorganize yourself. You want to get your stuff together in the right order. You want to define who the next thing is. You want to define that you are no longer choosing notorious B.I.G. That you are choosing the new you, built and created by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're choosing the renewed you, the redeemed you. You're choosing the reinvent. You're choosing God. God doesn't just happen in any of our lives. You choose God. With the dream offering, it's not just going to happen. You choose for it to happen. It's your choice. The greatest power in this room is not the power of Satan, and it's not the power of God. The greatest power in this room is the power of your decision-making capacity. You decide God. You decide faith. You decide fear. But you don't just walk in faith. You decide to walk in faith. You need to rise up today in your decision-making capacity. It's the you decide to be. It's the chosen you, the redefined you, the inspired you. It's the bringing in the future you through your power to choose it. I'll just digress just for a second in terms of, just to keep my theme going in terms of don't just be yourself. Often when I'm about to preach, Jen says, just be yourself. It's very hard to do that when you're incredibly self-conscious because your self buckles under the fear of what other people think about you. Unless you make a choice to answer these questions correctly, then you'll never be set free in the personality that God gives you. There's only four questions you ask yourself. Number one, am I wanted? You want to make a choice to answer that question correctly because the sanguine in you will always be subject to the spirit of rejection. And then you'll never be yourself. The second question is, am I good enough? The melancholic in you will always be subject to the spirit of condemnation. Unless you answer that correctly, am I good enough? Through the cross, I'm good enough. Through running my race and not comparing, I'm good enough. Am I wanted? I am wanted by God. You need to decide to answer these questions. Otherwise, they'll flap around in the breeze of your own insecurity and you'll reject who you are. You'll be caught by the spirit of condemnation. And number three, am I admired? The choleric in you will always be subject to the spirit of failure. You need to say, I am admired by God. I have an audience of one and he is my greatest fan. If you cannot decide that, you're in big trouble with the winds of insecurity. And the last question is, am I alone? The phlegmatic in you is subject to the spirit of abandonment. Unless you answer that question, I am not alone. God is with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because God is with me. Even though I go through the fire, I'll not be burnt because God is with me. You want to make a purposeful decision to answer these questions. I am not alone. I am good enough. I am wanted. I am admired. You need to answer those questions so that you can naturally be the person that God's called you to be. But it doesn't just happen. It happens through your decision-making capacity. I want you, through the dream offering next week, to tell us who you are. You tell me who you are. You tell me whether you're caught in fear of loss. You tell me if you're driven by to keep up with the Joneses. You tell me whether the kingdom of God is firmly tattooed on the center of your heart. You tell me whether you believe in God next week. You tell me that. Don't. I'm not going to ask. You tell me by what you do, who you are. You define yourself. Don't hide yourself. Don't find yourself. You define yourself. This is who I actually am. This is the hashtag this year's Bants. This is not the new me, even though it is. This is not the old me. This is not the natural me. This is the next me. Born at the Grand Central Station of my will that decides to subject itself to the will of God. Now, Sarah Denise, who's my executive PA, just we gave her that name because she said, David, I want a low kind of name. I want a highfalutin name. I want a name that makes me feel important as I walk the corridor. So we made that name up just for her pleasure so she can drive to work in dignity. And she sent me an article from the Metro newspaper and it was about the rebranding of Coca-Cola. And she said, Coke's going to rebrand across the world. You'd be interested in this, Dave, in that gone are all the different types of looks of the Coke cans. They're coming back just to the red Coke can. And so every type of Coke is going to be listed, written on the same kind of labeling. They're practicing this in Spain. And so there's Coke, full fat, and then there's Diet Coke, and then there's Coke Zero, and then instead of caffeine-free, it's Coke Zero Zero. That's pretty neat. And then I just realized that in all of our lives, we wear different hats, you know, that there's a time for Coke Zero, there's a time for full fat, there's a time for Zero Zero, you know, that in my life, I've got the hat of pastor, I've got the hat of leader, I've got the hat of husband, I've got the hat of father, I've got the hat of friend, I've got the hat of, you know, what? Just lots of different hats, right? But underneath this hat, and the same with you, Mrs. Housewife, underneath this hat is the same mind, the same soul, and the same heart. And you can be obsessed by the hats you wear, saying, you just don't know what I'm up against. You just don't know what I've got to do. No, 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 that's a hat. It's just a hat. And you need to rebrand yourself under one single brand of this is who I am, this is how my soul works, this is how my mind works, this is how my heart works, and rebrand yourself under one single branding. Stick the different hats on, but don't be defined by your hat. I'm just an officer. Stop the nonsense. You're a head under that hat. And you need to bring it all in together and unify yourself and stop feeling like a divided person. My breakthrough came in my marriage and my family when I realized, Dave, stop being a different person at work to you are at home. And instead of downsizing work, I decided to upsize home. Instead of being average at work in order to be consistently non-hypocritical, I decided to be awesome at home. In order to bridge the gap, to rebrand myself, to be the same person in heart, soul, and mind in every situation. Am I preaching great or is this great? And it's the same with you. Stop your naughtiness of being so brilliant at work, high-flying executive, but rubbish at church, Mr. Latecomer. It doesn't suit you. You're defining yourself by your hats instead of your heart. And it's not working for you, and it's not working for us. Because next Sunday, we need that 50 grand from one single person next week. We need it. And so for you to say, oh, I'm just flat out at work, being brilliant, earning lots of money, being a great achiever. But if you don't bring that in under the other hat you wear of part of the family of God, you're going to be torn apart by the enemy because you want to be unified. You want the same branding underneath each of the hats that you wear. And I suggest you don't drop down to being average. I suggest you drop everywhere to being awesome. I'm going to have to pull out in a second, right? But I'll let it slide slightly, right? By just coming to my quiet times. And I'll get the keyboard player up in a second, or whoever's going to play, maybe the drummer. In Isaiah 42, it starts, I love this, 42 verse 10. It starts with redefining, right? The thing I love about it, right, forget that for a second, is I love verse 13. This is what it says about your life and about Hope City Church. The Lord will march out like a mighty 7 days' time, the Lord will march out like a mighty man of war. Like a warrior, he'll stir up his zeal. With a shout, he'll raise up the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time, yeah, I know it, Lord, you've kept silent. Don't we know it? Oh, just me. I'm going to say it again for the sake of knowing the ways of God. For a long time, Lord, you've remained silent. Not non-existent, not inactive, just silent. For I have been quiet and held myself back. Now I know. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and the hills and dry up all the vegetation. I'll turn the rivers into, and I can't read my writing. I will lead the blind by ways they've not known, along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I'll turn darkness into light before you and make rough places smooth. You know what I say back to that? Yes, please. Yes, please. Come on, come with me now, right? That's yes, please. I'll have some of that. I'll have some of that, Lord. Turn the rough places smooth. I want some of that, Lord. Rising up like a woman in childbirth. I don't know what it's like, but it just sounds mighty. I want some of that, Lord. I want some of that. I want some of that. Rising up like mine is it. I want some of that, Lord. Well, all right. So this is how it starts. It starts in verse number 10, right? Sing to the Lord a new song. This is you redefining yourself, right? A new song, new tunes, new melody. No more broken records of who you used to be and what you're not, what you can't do and who hurt you. This ain't country music, you know. His praise, sing his praise from the ends of the earth. Bring your loose ends under focus. You'll go down to the sea, you who go down to the sea, you who stare at the impossible and stand on the borders between possible and impossible. You islands and all who live in them, sing. Stop saying you're invisible. Hope City Church and every middle-aged person in this room, stop saying you're invisible. Stop it. You have an audience of one. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stop saying it. Housewife, stop saying it. Unemployed person, stop saying it. Anyone who used to be a whiz kid but no longer is needed, stop saying it. Anyone who's been made redundant, stop saying it. Sing, you islands. Sing, you islands. Sing, you abandoned ones. Start to sing. You isolated, abandoned people, start to sing. Start now, the Lord says. Start to sing. Let the desert and its towns raise their voice. Let the desert come alive with singing. Let the settlements of Kedar lives rejoice, and let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them give glory to the Lord. Proclaim his praise in the islands. Stop being a private Christian. Stop it. Sing. Rise up. Open up your vocal cords. Get loud. Turn the volume up. Get a new tune. Get a new playlist. Turn the volume up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Come on. Turn the volume up and begin to praise him. Sing. Sing, O barren woman, you who have never given birth to a child. Sing, you islands. Sing and sing and sing. Sing, you deserts, those who go down to the sea of impossibility. Sing a new song, a new tune. It's a new day. Get out a new playlist. Hashtag New Year's Bants. Hashtag it's a new day. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. God says, oh, really? Really, you decided to redefine yourself with new songs of joy? Really? Really? Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rise up like a mighty man of valor. I'm not just going to be the king of your desert anymore. I'm going to be the king of glory. I'm going to be the don of the dance floor. I'm going to be the boss of breakthrough. That's who I'm going to be. And welcome to the dance floor of heaven. You've come with a new attitude. You've come with a new song. You've come with a new rhythm. You've come onto the dance floor. And the one who controls the dance floor of heaven is God. When God decides to break through, when God decides to dance, he is the Lord of the dance, because he's not just the God of the desert. He's the God of glory. He's the God of the breakthrough. He's the God of your future. Just say this, right? There comes a day, there comes an hour, there comes a minute, there comes a second when God rises up like a mighty man of war. And everything, listen, everything changes. It's a demonstration of the power of heaven, but it's preceded by a redefinition from the powers of earth.